If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. I like seeing the way that everything comes together, because this last week, like I said, I was at camp, and so I was I got some things ready to go ahead of time, but I was kind of waiting on the message. I was like, I think the Holy Spirit's going to lead, maybe through some experience from camp or something, I just felt God leading that I need to get back into the queries. And so we're going to do query number 5 today in our bylaws. And if you have your queries memorized, of course you would know that this query is all about young people, the church and young people. So I thought, oh, how fitting, how wonderful is God that he works things out this way, that the way that he brings his messages. The query is a very fitting question for this Sunday for two reasons. That right off the top of my head, the first is that this Sunday and last Sunday we've been recognizing our young people who have made the commitment to become members in the church. And also the second is that I just spent the last week at Camp Quaker Heights for senior high camp, and our ministry was focused on young people. So I thought it was very neat that as God led in this message, I had just come from an environment where our focus was exactly what this query asks. So I'm going to read query number 5. If you have your discipline, you may read along, but I think John's probably the only one that brought his, so. Oh, it's the churches. We'll pass it around. Okay. It says, do you seek the conversion and spiritual development of your young people? Do you endeavor to instruct them in the principles and practices of friends? Do you strive to create a community life that will promote their spiritual, mental, and physical well-being? I thought, well, that's a good question right there. I'm glad that's in there. The first part of the query says, do you seek conversion and spiritual development of your young people? As a church body, we need to recognize the immense amount of pressure that our young people are under today. Our young people are bombarded with this world's media all day, every day. So are we seeking their conversion and spiritual development? Because there are so many things that are kind of biting for our young people's attentions, for our youth and for our children. Now, I didn't grow up with a cell phone. I didn't even grow up with the internet. And you know that today, our young people have the internet on their cell phones? They have internet all the time. See, we cannot stop the bad media from reaching our young people because the technology that brings it to them comes through, basically, it's a way of life. It's instant access all the time to all of this media. And if you don't have it, you don't exist. So basically, to stop the pressures of the world from coming in contact with our young people, you have to cut your cable, cut your internet, don't let your children go out of the house, don't let them go to school, get rid of the radio, get rid of a cell phone, and basically don't let them come in contact with any other person that is in contact with any of this media. No problem, right? Chain my kid up in the closet and that's it. What a great life. So that's the first part of this question is so wonderful about spiritual development. What are we doing for our youth spiritual development? Because we can't stop the media. We can't stop the pressures that they're under. So it is our job to help them develop that spiritual conscience, to help them with spiritual development so that they know what to do with the media when it comes to them. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. And Paul is writing this letter and says, ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he calls his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Isn't that just a wonderful prayer to start off with? I'm praying constantly to Father God for spiritual wisdom for you and insight that you might grow in the knowledge of God so that you'll be confident, so that you can deal with these pressures, so that you can deal with these things. Continuing in verse 19, he says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also also head over, but also in the world to come. I'm sorry. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. That's a pretty powerful prayer, isn't it? Are we praying that prayer for our young people? Do we understand how much they need spiritual wisdom and insight and to have a greater knowledge of God? You know, I know that even as an adult, we need to be praying that. But as a young person, we know that the closer that you get to God, the more you understand God, the stronger you become. Psalm 46:1 says that God is our refuge and strength. Are we teaching our youth that the strength that they need for their day is in the Lord? Are we encouraging spiritual development and wisdom gained through seeking God? And you know that the best way to teach someone is to show them the truth, especially for a generation that is taught that seeing is believing. As adults, I think sometimes we can get a little hypocritical about our youth, can't we? I know that I can. We get a little hypocritical about the things that come to holy living, that come to salvation, that come to spiritual development. As we did the campfire last night of camp, it's something that we always do. There's always a campfire. You know, we do silly camp songs. If you're at family camp last year, you remember them. So Chip and I did a bunch of silly camp songs. We had a blast. And then we kind of slow it down and we let the kids share their testimonies. And I think some of you would just be blown away by some of these testimonies, by some of the things, the pressures that we talked about that these youth are going through. We're talking about drugs. We're talking about alcohol, sex, rape, molestation, suicide attempts, eating disorders, prostitution, abandonment, crime, pornography, and those are just to name a few. The list goes on and on, and these things are just unthinkable that our young people are pressured with every day. And, you know, part of me wants to say, well, you know, we had some kids there from foster homes. We had some kids with some backgrounds. But no, testimonies came from kids who were regular church attenders. And that should wake you up. Went to church every Sunday. Had a family with a good name. And yet the testimony, it just didn't match up all of the things that some of these kids have done. And as a church, we need to realize, you know, as I think back about my experience with church, I don't remember a lot of spiritual development. I never went to church to be renewed. I never went to church to really grow. I went to church because I was supposed to go to church. Church wasn't a lot of fun for me. So we've got all these kids that are in church, and what are we doing about it? Are we really helping them develop it? At the end of their testimonies, many of these young people said how much they loved camp because it was safe, because there was love, because there was nurturing, because there was grace, and because there was repentance and new life. Now, that first part of that query is, are we seeking conversion and spiritual development of our young people? I hope that we say, yes, of course, this is church. Of course we want our young people's conversion. Of course we're going to preach the gospel. Of course, we want them to have that. And of course, we want them to develop. But are we really looking and saying, are we really developing that? What are we doing to develop that? Are we doing what we need to develop that? The last part of the query was whether this church is a place like camp. Are we promoting well-being? Are we spiritual, physical? Are we promoting that mental well-being? Now, it doesn't say, is this a place like camp? But it says, do you strive to create a community life that will promote their spiritual, mental, and physical well-being? And of course, I want us all to say, well, of course we do. This is church. But then how do we explain those beautiful young people who went to church every Sunday but still fell into the same types of sins of all these other kids who maybe weren't going to church? How do we explain that? I think that it's important for us to realize as church. Now, I have a passion for youth. Now, that's not important for us to realize as a church, but that's just a side note. I have a strong passion for youth. Many of you know that. Some of you may not. But my wife and I come from a youth background. I went to school for youth ministry because of my passion for youth and all of those summers that I spent at camp seeing the Lord work in these young people's lives. And you know what I've learned is that we actually have to connect with our youth. That's what I've learned. You actually have to connect with these youth. It's not good enough for them just to come. Send them away to youth group or send them away to their own thing and then they sit in church and listen. As a body, if we want to nurture our youth, we actually have to connect with them. We actually have to get in their lives. Nurturing involves connection, getting personal, making time to connect and encourage our youth. It's about building relationships with our young people, showing them how much we appreciate them and how much we love them. Now, there is a secret to bonding with youth. And I know what it is. Does anybody else want to know what it is? Okay, it's found in Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God." All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things He has planned for us long ago. We cannot forget the importance of remembering that between the church and our young people, we are on the level. We are all on the level because it says we were all dead. We were all saved by grace, weren't we? We are on the level when it comes to salvation. The secret to bonding to our young people, the secret for me to bonding with a young person is to become vulnerable. If you want to bond with our young people, you have to open your hearts personally. That is the secret. But you know that a youth does not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Young people will not open their hearts to you until you open your heart to them and show them humbleness and vulnerability. And if you ask why, it's because then they know it's safe. What happens if you forget Ephesians chapter 2? What happens if I forget that I was dead because of my disobedience? What happens if I forget that it's God's mercy, that it's Christ's mercy, and it's His grace that saved me? I start looking at people differently, don't I? I start looking at young people and the decisions that they make. I'm like, you idiot, don't make that decision. Whereas if I would just think a little bit, I made that same decision. We're all the same. No matter how old you are, it is still the grace of Christ that gives us salvation, and no one can boast about it. Now, in our cabin time, every day we would have chapel, and after every chapel, we'd have one in the morning and we'd have one in the evening. We'd all go down to the cabin for cabin time. And you know, cabin time, we had a list of questions to ask, and we'd kind of review what the speaker Luke said, and you would ask these questions, and do you think that our youth opened up a whole lot that first night? No. You know, we did have some conversation because they kind of knew each other, and a lot of those kids were now seniors, but my first year at camp counseling, they were my kids when they were like 10. So, you know, we kind of knew each other, and there was catching up to do, there was talking, but did anybody really open up their heart? Mm-mm. It wasn't until myself and there was another counselor, Matt, it wasn't until we opened up our hearts and shared our sins, shared our pasts, shared our struggles and our pressures, that our youth really started to open up. When you do this, when you open your heart to a youth, it's like they just flip a switch. And they say, huh, this person is human. I love to just go up to someone and just share with them, especially if they know that I'm a pastor. And especially if it's about my past and my sin, because they're like, wait, what? You? Huh? You struggled with this? Are you serious? You went to church every Sunday, you look so good. It's like, I'm still just human. We're still just all equal, like it says here in Ephesians 2. Sometimes I think that the hardest thing for a mature Christian, I put some quotes up here if you can't see them on the tape. The hardest thing for a mature Christian to do is admit to others that at one time they were dead, that at one time they were captive to sin, that at one time they were going through the exact same things that our young people do. Let's ask this question again. Are we making church an environment where our young people are safe to be human, are safe to learn and grow? One of the most important things is, are we making it safe for them to fail and still find love and the grace that we did when we failed? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that our youth, that our young people are the future of this congregation, that as we are older and as we have more life experience, Father God, it is our job to connect with them, to help develop that spiritual conscience, to do that spiritual development, to help them cope with all of the pressures in the world that they have to deal with. Help us to come together as a body and to open ourselves up to our young people, that we may embrace them and love them, and be humble around them, and just show them that, you know what, we were all dead. But thanks to your plan through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have found life as one body. Amen.